Welcome back to Soccer Card United. It's episode 198 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. That's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hello, Jason.
How's things?
Things are good. Things are very good over here.
People saw you with a hard hat and a high-vis jacket on our Instagram story earlier, and somebody speculated that maybe we were starting construction on a new Soccer Cards United HQ.
Maybe we are. That's all I can say about that. I cannot disclose any more information beyond that.
Okay, fair enough. I won't try and pull any more out of you. Not big, but a few things to talk about today.
Not big.
I was going to say big, but then I looked up at my running order, and because it's an international break, the football side of things was pretty small. But we're starting with a big news story because Topps have released just today Merlin Heritage.
Okay, yes. Big hobby drop.
Over the last few years, we've seen Merlin 97 and 98.
95, 97, 98.
95, 97, 98. God, I feel old. And now we're wondering, what's next for the Merlin brand? Quite interesting. Because this is sort of a medley. Sort of a mishmash of different Merlin designs.
Look at that.
Look at this.
Is that Erling Haaland? We'll go back to the Haaland, please. That's a 1996 Premier Gold vibe, is it?
I think so, yeah.
I like that City kit. I'm loving it. I like that. I'll give it that.
I'll read you what Beckett say here about the product.
What are Beckett?
2023-24 Topps Merlin Heritage UEFA Club competitions, say that three times fast, takes another trip back to the 1990s for design purposes anyway. Drawing from the past, it creates a collection with mostly new players available through the Topps UK website and other Topps websites. 10-pack hobby boxes include an autograph and a pair of parallels. While there isn't much in the way of inserts, the base set has lots going on, spanning, and we can argue whether or not some of these
could be inserts.
Spanning 164 cards, it has 7 different subsets, each with their own distinct design. And here they are: bobbleheads, current stars, fan favorites, legends of the game, logo cards, Merlin's most wanted, and young guns.
Did you see they put out like a video pointing all that out?
I did see that. That was good.
Yeah, I was watching that.
I enjoyed that. So I guess that what will be the most controversial design will be this bobblehead design. What do you think of that?
Not for me.
It's not for you.
It's not for me.
Okay.
But I understand. Okay. Like it is a very, I mean, this is a very distinct kind of design, I suppose, because it's a very specific design.
Yeah. I like it.
It's different. I mean, that's the thing. People are always like, do something different. Then something different happens. And they go, I don't like that. Do the same thing. I like. So it's different. And that's, I fuck with that. It's not for me. But at the same time, yeah, it's nice. I don't know. I like the cartoony vibe of it. What do you like about it? Tell me. What has you get excited here?
I like that it's an interpretation of something. You know, it's a bit like it speaks to the kind of like, say Jude Bellingham, for instance, right? He's like sometimes a cartoon.
Old head on your shoulders.
I could have gone there, but I didn't. I was going to just say it's kind of a cartoony vibe to him as a player. Sometimes you watch him and you go like, this is like, you know, he's like a superhero, like an action hero.
No, I get it.
And then to have him in this kind of cartoonish style is just kind of like fun, I think.
Okay.
There is a checklist and it's here, but let's have a look at the autographs. 91 card autograph checklist. Whoa. That's a lot of autographs.
Yeah, I was very busy today. I didn't get a chance to look at this, Jason, in advance.
Yeah.
I see some of the women in there.
There's men and women. There are Merlin's Most Wanted Legends, Big Legends checklist. A lot of AC Milan action here, which you'll be a fan of.
I love to see that. But like Cristiano Ronaldo being down as a legend is so fun. Like it is kind of mad to see.
Yeah, that's good.
Obviously, he's still active as well, but like it is a bit mad.
Oh, Jesus. Did you see that Steven Gerrard thing?
I did.
What an absolute disgrace. Imagine that.
It's rough out here. It's rough out here. Ugh,
the GOAT, as we call him. Do you call him that, Steven Gerrard?
A Liverpool player.
Yeah. A Liverpool legend calling Cristiano Ronaldo the GOAT, as we call him. Are you not 40? Oh my God, get alive.
I like seeing Sergio Aguero in there. I don't think we've seen him for a while in Topps product.
We saw him have a lost rookie, but I don't think...
That was very recent, though, was it? Like, he used to have...
Yeah, that was that was one of those situations where it's like the lost rookie comes out and then it's like, whoa, everyone, cool off. I think we're going to get... That just means we're going to get Sergio Aguero autos from now on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like they had obviously the Premier League license back in 2018, and I believe he was kind of the big chase in there as a Topps autograph.
Okay.
So I'm trying to see. Oh, he's in Finest. No, that's 2018 Finest. So yeah, like the first Aguero autographs in Topps products since 2018. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
It's cool for everyone other than the 2018 Aguero
holders.
Yeah, because these I don't. Oh, he popped up as a footballer's flash in 2019. My apologies.
Okay.
But, picture that going for 280, Jason, as a PSA 10 footballer flash. But, you know, I'm sorry. I like that caught my eye very fast.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. Fan favorites autographs: Danny Olmo, Jack Grealish, Koke, Kyogo.
Danny Olmo. Get rid of him. I have hit so many of his autos. Get him out of here.
Yeah. He's a kind of a classic top signee, I would say.
Yeah, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Come on. I like
and then
Arda Guler there in the Young Guns, Jason. I like that.
Yeah. Hopefully we see him at some point. And then we have the dream team. The Topps dream team. Donnarumma, Gvardiol, Saliba, Theo Hernandez, Pedri, De Bruyne, Musiala, Jude, Haaland, Kane, Lewandowski.
Listen, Theo Hernandez is there, so I can't hate.
You can't hate.
Cannot hate that.
This is, for me, this is a breakthrough. I think this is really good. I'm.
It's a big improvement.
The design is good.
Yeah, it's a big improvement on the kind of headshot Merlin style that we had going on for many a year.
Completely, because like oftentimes I can be just in a car shows and stuff, and someone says, "Are you interested in a Pedri autograph?" And you go, "Yeah, of course, yeah." And they take out the kind of just the headshot design from Merlin Heritage, and you go like, "Not really that one."
Yeah, no, I'm not. That's not the one I like.
That's not really the one I like. But thanks for showing me.
Oh my God.
So that was run fair, from what I understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, no other way to do it. And we'll see when they're in hand what kind of reception they get. Did you hear about this Leaf acquisition?
No. Was it Dwayne The Rock Johnson again?
No, it was the actual company of Leaf has been acquired.
Oh.
I'll read you a press release.
By the company Tree.
This is from... is that a Leaf joke?
Yeah.
It's good. This is from Ryan Cracknell. I saw this on his feed. Leaf trading cards under new ownership. Orange Mountain Capital acquires leading sports trading card manufacturer. Are they a leading sports trading card manufacturer? I don't know. Leaf Trading Cards, a prominent name in the sports trading card and collectibles industry, is proud to announce its acquisition by Orange Mountain Capital, a dynamic player entering the sports and pop culture space. The deal marks a significant chapter in the long and storied history of Leaf, with Orange Mountain Capital expressing enthusiasm for the brand's legacy and its commitment to further enhancing its prominence in the market. The acquisition was spearheaded by Douglas Maxwell, representing Orange Mountain Capital, who expressed excitement about the strategic move into the sports and pop culture sector. Douglas Maxwell said this: "We are thrilled to be venturing into the sports and pop culture space, a realm we've had our sights on for quite some time. Leaf's rich history in the trading card industry is a testament to its standing, and we are eager to contribute to the continued success and evolution of this iconic brand." And then Kevin O'Neill, the new CEO of Leaf, thanked former CEO Brian Gray. And then Brian Gray said, The purchase of Leaf by a group focused on expanding and refining the whole company we have built is exciting for both the Leaf team and the hobby as a whole. While I am sad to end the era of Leaf ownership, it is exciting to see Leaf take new steps to its in its growth process. There you are.
Well, listen, they've made a name for themselves despite their lack of licenses in a relatively cutthroat industry.
Yeah, one of this one of the things that this story brought me was my first ever visit to the Leaf website.
Wow.
Which is actually a fine...
Leaf.com is not the Leaf website.
No, it's LeafTradingCards.com.
But do you want to know what the Leaf of the day is?
I'd love to know what the Leaf of the day is.
The Leaf of the day, I'm not joking, on Leaf.com, everything fine from branch of... I don't know. Do I have to guess it? Is that what this is? I think I have to guess it. It's either it's. I don't think it's a vine. It might be. It's either the branch of a vine, which I don't believe it to be. I don't know if you could put that on screen, Jason. Ask
Leaf.com.
Yeah, I just assumed Leaf.com was what Leaf.
Oh my word!
What is that?
What is Leaf.com? Everything from branch to vine to vine.
Oh, that's everything fine from branch.
Everything to fine vine. From branch. Oh, this is the Leaf of the day.
Right. So I think you have to. This is for Leaf enthusiasts, I assume.
I'm going to go and search. Image with Google.
Oh, look at you. Is it a sycamore or something?
Search. It's a Rhamnus alnifolia.
Wow, that's the leaf of the day. Look at that.
Known by the common names alder leaf buckthorn.
I'm not familiar with this leaf.
Me neither.
This could be a segment on the podcast from now on. We check on Leaf.com. If they change it every day, like I need to at least check it tomorrow. I need to know.
Because we're not familiar with it because it's native to North America, where it is mainly known from the southern half of Canada to the northern half of the United States and California.
I'm embarrassed now. I feel like some of the listeners might have been yelling at the screen going, it's obviously.
Yeah, it's an alder buck leaf.
Come on. You've never been to.
For alder buck's sake.
Wyoming or something. I don't know.
But listen, I just found an absolute mystery. So while you were on Leaf.com, you know the way it said Orange Mountain Capital many times throughout this press release?
Yes.
I went to search Orange Mountain Capital, and look at this. They don't exist.
No way.
Who the hell are Orange Mountain Capital?
Important news.
There's a whole mystery going on here.
Cherry Collectibles, Leaf joins... Who are they?
Who are they?
They don't exist. They just bought Leaf. That's what it takes to buy Leaf. You don't even need to exist. So, to me, that looks like some funny business going on.
Something's going on here.
I swear to God,
this is not a pre-planned segment. Douglas Maxwell is a Scottish playwright, but I don't think a Scottish playwright has acquired Leaf trading cards.
But would it be funny for us? Let me just write that real quick. Now I was just getting a non-view of me. Jason, could it be good to tweet that? Could it be good to just tweet who are these and then let everyone else right now without listening to the podcast just Google it and find out that they don't exist?
I'll tweet that.
Can you just tweet, like, do they exist? Does Orange Mountain Capital exist? Does anyone know anything about them? I can't find anything. I didn't tag Paul Lesko and let him fucking go mental.
Does anyone know anything about Orange? This is live tweeting on the podcast. Orange Mountain Capital.
Oh, I found one. Delaware. Oh, tax-free state, Jason.
Yeah, this is a shell company registered in Delaware.
Yeah, that's what I found here.
What was going on here?
I'm trying to find out when they were registered.
Because they're talking about they're expressing excitement from in Orange Mountain Capital about the move into sports and pop culture, but I can't find out what are they moving into it from?
Move from what? Well, this says 19th of September 2023, but I don't know if that's just a random news article. But yeah, I see that. But yeah, that doesn't answer anything. What are they? Oh, here's a in Wilmington.
Yeah, Wilmington, Delaware.
Oh, is that Delaware? Sorry. Yeah, no. I couldn't tell you.
Huh.
Is that their logo?
Well, anyway, I was going to say, the whole reason I brought this up was that I was going to say, I think, like, they're actually, I think Leaf is an interesting case, kind of similar to Futera. Like, I think there is a lot of opportunity here for a small, competent trading card manufacturer in the industry at the minute. Like, I don't see any reason why you couldn't have, if you have, like, the, if you can make cards, you can distribute them yourselves, you can manufacture them, short print runs, all that kind of stuff. There's no reason that we couldn't have, like, we could all love Leaf in an alternate universe. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think the term competent there was being stretched a lot.
Well, what I mean is they can make cards, they can put autographs on, they can do parallels.
True.
Like, you look at the XRCs that they do and all that stuff. Yeah, like, there's no reason why...
You look at the Evan Ferguson, and that's super well received.
Yeah, or the Endrick.
Yes.
You know, like, and even when we go to card shows, the Leaf Blasters always do well.
That's true. But, like, I think, yeah, like, I think the main thing is, without licensing, it is tough going, because it's like, anyone can be competent and agile at creating something if they're not using licenses, you know? That's the idea, I would say. That you still want that professionally licensed, which is kind of where Futera come in. They have licenses of some degree, which are a bit confusing, because the licenses they have are also seem to be held by other companies. I don't know if they have, like, an Asia exclusive. I don't really know. But, yeah, interesting.
I was looking up earlier, the, you know, that we talked about before, the Topps MLB debut patch kind of thing, the 101s going on. Well, Topps announced that they're doing a new kind of redemption card. It's called a white glove exchange. And the idea is that if you pull one of them, you can send it directly. Topps will send it to you, will send it directly to grading for you. So when you redeem it, you can say, send it to grading, but you can grade it with BGS, SGC, or GC or whatever, that they keep changing their name. But the main bit that I was interested in was that there was no PSA option.
Yeah.
That's weird. Now, maybe it's an own story, but I thought that was strange that this is such a flagship initiative by Fnatic/Topps to do this patch. And this is a great option, I suppose, for collectors, although you could just grade it yourself. And then to leave out what is largely considered to be the premier grading company.
Definitely, like, the favorite grading company in the market at the moment.
Yeah, by collectors, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some of these cards get pulled that are non-redemption, if you know what I mean. Like, I've seen some of the MLB, you might have seen them on the timeline too, so I'm a bit confused about that as well. Like, I thought it was, like, all of those cards are coming as redemption and you can either redeem it or grade it.
Yeah.
Now it sounds like that's not the case based on what we're seeing. Or are some of them redemption cards? I don't know. That's something I didn't understand.
Yeah, now I am confused.
Yeah,
I have. You're right. I have seen them. Physically. Anyway, we'll just move on, I guess, because we don't know.
We're not baseball guys, but yeah, weird. Something to keep an eye on. PSA left out with that. I don't know if there's some background negotiation with that, whatever. But also, it's like, if you want to grade it with PSA, just do that, I guess.
While that's trying to find some answers on the on this yoke, I found the Topps Ripped website. Do you know the Topps Ripped website?
Is that not where you do your raffles?
It's
my way off.
It's this website. And it's like a collector resource, kind of like blogs. You know, it's like
educational
whole thing. I don't know if this is new or what, but it's, look at all this.
Oh, that's definitely new. Relatively.
It's definitely new. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, that's part of 10x in the hobby.
Yeah.
Got to educate.
Well, 10x in the hobby would be telling the number one soccer card podcast that this new website is live, wouldn't it?
I don't think that pushes the needle, Jason.
What? But there's so many people listening to this podcast.
No, but it is brilliant. Is there any words here you don't know? How about that?
Any words on the Topps Ripped glossary that I don't know? Book card. Box loader. I don't really know what a box loader is.
I don't know what a Tiffany set is.
Box loaders or toppers are special single cards or sets of cards only available as inserts and large... Oh, like a box topper. Okay, I'm with you now. Yeah.
Hey, I was about to pull one out there. Top loader, uncut
card sheet, stock,
team collector, team break.
This is fascinating. Thrilling podcasting. Collegious, we'll just say random words. Evercard, dinged.
But this is like, this is it. This is a hobby glossary. It's like, these are the terms. If you're in this, like, if this was a fishing information website, I'm sure there's a glossary that relates to people. You know, when you go fishing, someone says, can you hand me this?
Yeah.
Do you know what they're talking about?
No, I agree.
But this is actually a lot. Because if I was to put together a hobby glossary, I don't think it would be this detail. But this is brilliant.
This is excellent. Yeah. I mean, this is...
Logo man. Lenticular. I know what lenticular is. Come on. Junk wax error. Look at that. That's like...
Lenticular is the one where it's two different pictures on the same card.
Yeah, Jason. Congratulations over there.
Thank you.
That's
just
brilliant.
Just for anyone at home.
So it's like, now I know if someone's chatting to me going, I don't understand what's going on, I say, this is a very intense website. You should go over there and get involved. Like, there's a lot. It's not a whistle stop. It's not quite, you know.
Yeah.
You'll be there for a while.
Look, soccer is here. Look. I love UEFA Club Competitions. Yeah, Chrome is here.
Is here.
That's brilliant.
No, it is. It is brilliant. Top strip.
Anyway. That's top stripped. Big memorabilia news this weekend. Okay. And we're gonna go into some F1 stuff, but we're gonna go in via soccer. Because there was big news regarding Diego Maradona's Hand of God jersey auction.
Again.
I could have sworn
we did that.
We already did that, but it's come up again, and I don't know. Now I'm really confused, actually.
Is it for sale again, or are you just talking about it? What are you talking about? Is Hand of God jersey went up for sale, sold for like...
Yeah, it did 9 million.
Did it do 9 million? That was that.
Or...
It did something mental. And then his daughter came out and said, I have that jersey. What are you talking about? That's the last I remember.
So do I. But now I'm really confused. Never mind all that, right? The reason I wanted to bring up memorabilia was because the Las Vegas Grand Prix was on and Sotheby's had a big F1 auction.
Yes.
And it was really, really cool. And I wanted to kind of go over, because I know people would have been thinking, people may not have checked in with the F1 market in a while, but I just thought it was interesting that, like, when you see some of these items, you'll think to yourself, F1 cards. Shit, man. Let's get into it.
Get involved.
Look at some of these cars. There's a Michael Schumacher signed racing suit gone for $100,000.
Oh, what a cut auto of him would do, Jason.
Tom Brady jersey, $1.3 million.
Oh, Tom Brady is massive.
And he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. He's the undisputed GOAT. Meanwhile, we have one of our several candidates for the GOAT going for 9 million. NFL is tiny. Soccer is massive.
Wow. Soccer. Oh, yeah, Maradona. Sorry, I thought about Michael Schumacher.
Look at that. Orlando Norris helmet, $10,000. And who's he like?
He's just some Englishman. He's on the grid, Jace. He's on the grid. Come on.
He's on the grid. It's just one of the guys on the grid.
I don't know who Lando Norris is. And in fairness, now I'm thinking, to be honest, I'm going the opposite way of you in terms of F1 cards, by the way. I'm like, if I'm an F1 fanatic, I'm probably buying a vehicle.
Well, not everyone can afford.
I want to open a box of Topps Chrome Formula 1 and there's just a set of keys inside the box. And congratulations, you are the owner of a 1994 Porsche 911 Turbo. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Formerly owned by some fella that used to drive it. Danny Ricciardo comes with the car.
Lewis Hamilton's 2013 Mercedes went for $18.8 million.
That's like the actual car he drove in?
Actual car he drove in, yeah.
That's class.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Because like those cars are like so small, like they're so low to the ground, should I say, that they are kind of, like a very rich person would have that somewhere in their house just on display.
If you could fit like in the space that like maybe like a grand piano would take up.
That's what I'm saying.
You could put a 2013. So it's like, I don't have anywhere I could put a grand piano in my house, but if I did, I could probably fit a nice, you know,
Formula One car.
Formula One car. Yeah, sure. So that was quite exciting. The auction was hosted by James Corden, which I thought was a real, you know, you go there just to buy the 2013 Lewis Hamilton and you have to listen to James Corden banging on. But other than that,
can I say apparently he's horrible?
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying.
That's funny.
That's certainly not a future guest on the show.
Oh, far from it.
We don't have guests, but if we did,
we'd purposely just say you're not allowed.
We wouldn't. Yeah. Did you see any of the Las Vegas Grand Prix?
Yeah. I fucked up. I woke up at like, it was on at 6 a.m. our time, I believe. I woke up at like 9 a.m. and the Grand Prix was starting. I was like, oh, class. I had the times wrong, but it was a replay. But I said, oh, well, I'm not clued into the online, so I'll just watch it. And then I kind of fell asleep during it. But thrilling race for me. I seen all the good bits. Start of the race was a bit of a madness, some crashing at the first corner, as ever. Yeah, I fell asleep, had to check who finished on the podium. And of course, it was super Max.
Did you see that Max Verstappen said that Monaco is the Champions League and this is the National League?
No, I seen the little thing that you shared when you were like, this is terrible, that he's making a good point, and he was gone, Vegas is shite. I love Vegas, but it's shite. I don't want to drive on street circus. So I want to drive with race fans and all this.
He was saying he doesn't want people coming. People just coming just to see,
for the crack, you know,
Tom Jones in concert or whatever.
Yeah, like I mean, Steve Aoki was on the grid. I don't know if you've seen that.
Which is the sign of a toxic event.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's terrible.
Whenever I see Steve Aoki, I just think that's just like,
there's a lot of just, you know, people are there to be there.
The kind of bullshit meter starts going off when Steve Aoki turns up.
Yeah, I don't see Steve Aoki at a lot of Grand Prix. So he was there. He was obviously doing DJing around the place. I'm sure he threw some pies and some faces or whatever. Oh, geez, I didn't see this.
Did you see this?
No.
So this is a great clip of, you know, this guy that does the...
Yeah, the UFC announcement.
What's this guy? He started in boxing. And he's, he, huh?
No, there's Bruce Buffer and I believe Michael Buffer, if I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
And one of them owns the Let's Get Ready to Rumble catchphrase.
And the other one owns It's Time. That's the UFC one. The other one's the boxer. They're brothers. They're not the same man. They look very similar.
It's incredible. So which one's this?
Oh, I think that's Bruce.
All right, but we're going to find out when he uses his patented catchphrase.
Yeah, that's definitely Bruce.
But this is a clip of Sergio Perez, a very funny clip of Sergio Perez getting announced. Hopefully this works with the audio. You let me know if you can't hear this.
That's Bruce.
And the Checo just kind of stands there. He doesn't know what to do. He just gets announced to his face. That's there like, right, so I'll head off then.
That's so fucked. Yeah, I suppose, I mean, no, it makes sense. Vegas is obviously fight capital of the world, so they're doing that.
Yeah,
that's Bruce Buffer, the brother of Michael Buffer. Michael Buffer was actually originally famous for his Let's Get Ready to Rumble, and people argue now that Bruce Buffer has become more iconic, which you would think, how is that possible after Michael Buffer goes with the Let's Get Ready to Rumble? People argue that the It's Time is more iconic these days than that's. And listen, Jason, you're already angry about it. You'd even know who was who or who was a brother, but yeah, I feel like you're already.
But if you think about it, if you think about
nostalgia,
it,
yeah, the fact that you knew one,
the
I get
the fact
it,
that I know
it.
One and don't know the other is case closed.
Wow,
obviously, that's like the stupidest shit I ever heard.
Wow, this is a divisive podcast.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying if you, you
no, know, I'm just saying I'm adding the little bit of tidbits that I know.
Oh, it's very interesting
that I was able to. Yeah, I was happy I was able to do that.
Well, that's why we. That's why you're the co-host of the podcast.
Yeah, I feel it's a rare time when I can come in and go, oh, Jason, actually, that's his brother, and that without having to Google it.
Yeah, well, listen, this is why we're the number one soccer card podcast, because approximately 2% of this podcast so far has been talking about soccer cards. We've done baseball, we've done UFC, boxing, F1, And well, we cracked open the case of the.
Did you hear about
your Mountain Capital?
Did you hear? Yeah, that was crazy. And while I'm wearing orange, by the way, and your hat looks like a questionable mountain.
Did we just acquire Leaf trading cards?
Was it us? Was that why I was wearing a hard hat today? I had to dig through some bullshit over at the Leaf HQ.
Mm-hmm.
The Leaf of the Day, North America. It's all. Do we own Leaf.com? Did we say, let's buy Leaf trading cards? We go, we find out they don't own Leaf.com. We go, whoa. Then we jokingly set up leaf.com and post a leaf of the day every day until we announce ourselves as the owners of Leaf trading cards. First port of call, get licenses. Crazy. That's crazy. No. No. But you hear about the young Spaniard, Jason?
Gavi?
Yeah.
I did hear about Gavi doing his ACL, yeah.
I hate that. I hate it.
I mean, Barcelona, like, this is the thing. We've had Ansu Fati, we've had Pedri, we've had Gavi, all of whom are plagued by injury. So then when someone like Lamine Yamal comes through, you go like, well, so if this fella's any good, you're going to play him. You're going to play 900 minutes before he's 15 and a half, be broken, and that's the end of him.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of what's kind of happening with Youssoufa Moukoko over there at Germany and Dortmund to a degree, is that they're kind of wrapping him up a bit. Like, he plays for the under-21s, doesn't play for the national team, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I hate that. Obviously, he was playing for Spain, and it happened, and Barcelona were going mad, going, why was he even playing? He was fucking... Blah, blah, blah. And, like, ACL... Like, I don't think it's as bad, obviously, as Ansu Fati. I think Ansu Fati is a very special case. He's extremely fucked. But a young man doing their ACL... This is
the first big injury.
Yeah. A young man doing their ACL is not a good sign, especially someone that you like to watch play as much as him. He's unbelievable. That's devastating news.
We're looking at potentially him missing the rest of the season and the Euros.
Yeah, not good.
So, I mean, that's the problem with this. He
broke out at the last Euros, did he?
He broke out at the last Euros.
I feel like, yeah. Because that was 2021. It wasn't that long ago.
What? But he had his rookie cards in 21-22.
Let me see. Yeah, it was not Pedri that had like the rookie card of the Euros. I don't think he broke out of the World Cup, though. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, Luis Enrique may have taken a surprise by starting Gavi in Spain's game against Italy in Euro 2020.
Yeah, which was in 2021.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
He was 16 at the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's not right. leave that child alone.
Leave him on the bench and let him have Euro 2024.
Yeah, please. Completely. I don't know really how to explain like this kind of rush of young players coming in. I think this whole... I don't know. It just seems like if you're good enough, you're old enough worked when everyone was less good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was also COVID kind of descended everything into madness. It was like, if they're not 15 and playing, they're not worth 100 million when they're 16 and we can't sell them. And there's that kind of going on. But like, how come Jude, I haven't looked at his figures or anything, but I assume he's played as much football as the likes of Pedri.
Of Gavi. Yeah, and Pedri. Yeah, he has.
But he doesn't look close to being injury prone. Obviously, it only takes one injury to do that. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, look at him when he's 25 kind of a thing. But it's like, he seems...
Like, I mean, Pedri and Gavi, like, didn't, you know, they didn't really have many niggles here and there. They just kind of had, you know, Pedri had a big injury and now Gavi's had a big injury. And that's the thing with Jude, is that one day he could be playing away to Osasuna and, you know...
Get clipped. In fairness, now he's the... Now that he's at Real Madrid, he might have a bit more kind of relaxation on the pitch kind of a thing, where there's less running around, although Barcelona as well. Like, I don't know. I just know Gavi, or Pedri more so, always looked absolutely bollocks on the pitch for like the best part of a year and a half when he was doing it for Spain and Barcelona. So, yeah, but just, yeah, Gavi getting that injury. Like, it's not a coincidence. I guess that's the main thing I'm trying to say. Like, if you look at, I think, the last 3 years of product, you could say four with this year.
Yeah.
You have Ansu Fati injured, Pedri injured, Gavi injured, Lamine Yamal obviously coming up now as a new young gun.
Yeah.
There's something not right at Barcelona. There is something very right at Barcelona in terms of the youth, but there's also something wrong in terms of the management of that youth.
Well, I think what's happening is that Barcelona, like La Masia, is probably producing as many good players as it ever did. But now, because the finances have completely broken down at Barcelona, it's not competitive. So when you break through at La Masia now, you can actually get into the team. Whereas for a while there, it was like Barcelona are recruiting the best of, you know, you have like Rakitic is coming in from Sevilla or, you know, whatever. I can't think of another example. But that kind of thing. So, or like Iniesta, Busquets, and Xavi are there for like 10 years, so you can never get in.
You're getting bit part roles.
You're getting a bit part, whereas now it's like, we don't have any money, so if someone is good enough from La Masia, he's now suddenly the starting midfielder, and we're bringing in Oriol Romeo on a free. So it's like, I think Pedri's going to probably get his game, or Gavi's going to get his game.
Yeah, in fairness, it was, sorry to cut you off, but it was like Pedri was running the shit, and then Gavi got his big moment, I guess, in the Euros, and kind of came to fruition. And it was like, you're thinking, we were joking, being like, Pedri's now kind of the old guard in the midfield. But we never really thought they were going to just fuck the two of them together, and now you had two under 20 players running around the midfield, but that's what they did.
Yeah. And it's really, I don't know, because you just, I think it's just become like, from COVID, it's just become completely normalized now. Like you were saying, like, it's, if the player is not doing XYZ at a given age, he's not worth anything. And I don't know, it just seems like we're in a hurry now to get to somewhere that I'm not quite sure where we're getting to.
Jason, listen to this, right? Gavi leads all Barcelona outfield players in minutes, appearances, and starts in all competitions since he joined the first team in 21-22. He's only 19. But the thing is, to go a step further, it also shows Spain's continual reliance on Barcelona and La Masia as well.
Yeah, like, true.
He can be playing every single minute for Barcelona, but like, he shouldn't necessarily be playing for the Spanish national team. But he also is, which also shows they're struggling. And
yeah, well, I mean, the reason he came in, coming in from under Luis Enrique, who is obviously a Barcelona man, and so puts his faith in the Barcelona system to come through. But I just think it's about responsibility. Like, I heard Luis de la Fuente, the Spain coach, talking, and he was saying, "Oh, we're all really, you know, really torn up about this." And Gavi sat out the most recent game for Barcelona with suspension, and he was training well, and he played against Cyprus and all this stuff. And he's kind of given excuses as to why, because I think part of the reason is for all this stuff is that, and maybe this is just rose tinted glass, maybe this is nostalgia, whatever, maybe there's recency bias, but I do think the atmosphere around football has grown increasingly toxic. And now the idea that a manager might rest a player, you can't. Like, if you rest Gavi and something happens, God forbid something happens, you will be like, you'll be blamed. No one cares if you say, "Well, I wanted to give Gavi a rest because he shouldn't be playing all the time." It's like, no, we want win, 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 win. And, you know, or the player himself will say, "I really want to be playing." It'll be a leak, like his camp will leak to the media that he's not being played, even though he's training well and all that. You know what I mean? It's like, I just feel like I feel like things have gotten really toxic. you know, someone, I don't know, like, who am I thinking of? Like, say Anthony Gordon moving from Everton to Newcastle for 50 million. And if he went a few games without playing, like, somebody from his camp, or there'd be an element that's saying, like, you know, Eddie Howe doesn't know what he's doing, players are losing faith in him because this kid's not playing. And it's like, I think referees, managers, senior players, whoever it may be, I just feel like the authority is just gone from the game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nobody respects anybody anymore.
The game is not what it was.
I think.
That's a classic old head view.
Yeah, and I'm not that old.
We are now. Just your birthday.
It's I mean, I suppose it's the classic, like, the Jose Mourinho example. Like,
football heritage.
Well, I just think that he did, like, it's Jose would talk about struggling to deal with players now because they really just don't give a shit. Like, you can't, like, you have to, like, you have to relate to them, you have to appease them, you have to make them feel special, as opposed to just, you know, criticizing them and you know, telling them to run more.
Can't do that anymore.
Can't do that anymore. Which is obviously good and bad. I don't know. I just think there's a poor old Gavi, basically.
Yeah. I think you're beating up with that. I was excited. Like, I don't know. All I can say, Jason, though, is that I hope in the next hour, because in 1 hour's time, Italy play Ukraine.
Yeah. Good win over North Macedonia.
Very good win. Federico Chiesa reminding us that he's a top quality player.
Yeah.
I just qualify, please. Just qualify. That's how I feel. I'm just like, please, don't make Ukraine. Like, don't let Zinchenko run around the pitch causing trouble.
Spalletti has confirmed that Jorginho will not be taking any more penalties for Italy because he's missed his last four.
He has such a fall from grace from his Ballon d'Or shouts.
Yeah. Four penalties in a row. In international football, like, how many penalties could you even...
Yeah. Well, one of the ones he missed, I don't think it was one of his last four, I can't remember, but one of the ones that he missed was the crucial one against Switzerland.
Yeah.
Which would have qualified us for the World Cup. But, you know, Messi went on to win the World Cup, so to be honest, everything had to happen for a reason. It was nice to support Qatar that one year.
Okay, that is it from us. We're back on Thursday. If you know who Orange Mountain Capital are, get in touch. And
if you knew the leaf of the day, please let us know.
Yeah.
We've had quite the week and a half on soccerizen.com. So thank you to everyone that has placed orders. And we got some new stuff in hand, Jason, more recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously card show. We're going to be giving more updates on that probably next Monday. But a lot is going on in the background for that, and I'm super excited. So if anyone was on the fence coming to Dublin, hasn't got their tickets yet, hasn't decided to be a vendor, not be a vendor, do look into that, because we are going to be ramping it up from next week. We got our new graphics. It's time to get people, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Jay. But yeah, today was a crazy day.
It's all going to be come together pretty quickly in the next few weeks. So this is maybe your last time to get on board before the hype train well and truly leaves the station.
Oof. Jason, apart from that, lovely chatting to you, lovely scene. I hope you had a great birthday week.
Yeah, same to you. It's the same week.
Yeah. Wow. Mine was good.
Yeah, same.
There you go.
All right. Listen, everyone, we'll see you later on in the week. Oh, we're at London, by the way, at the end of the week. If anyone's going to be at the London Card Show, stop by and see us.
London on Friday. I think I'm going to have a crazy day, Tuesday, Wednesday, putting together singles. We the last two card shows we went to, Jason, we did not have singles out on display on the table, but we are going to have them in London, and it's going to be a bit crazy, I think, because we have accumulated craziness.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah.
You were flying in the Saturday off. I had a nightmare last night that your plane is going to be delayed, and it's going to be an absolute calamity.
Don't worry.
So one thing on record, the show should have ended now. I should be just talking to you. But please bring the card machines on the Thursday to me, if you could.
Well, you have to give me... Yep.
Well, I'm not hand-delivering the suitcase, I don't think. I might be. I don't know, but I don't think so.
Well, no, but we'll do an... We'll do a whole exchange.
So I'm saying, yeah. But I need to be able to set up those the day of under the assumption you might not make it.
Oh, good idea. Good idea. Oh, we should announce big news for anyone coming to see us at the London Card Show. We have card machines now that work in England.
Soccer Cards United have card... Well, we tested them. Can we really say that? Do they work in England?
I can confidently say they will work.
Even with me setting it up, not you, potentially?
I'm not accounting for that possibility.
There's variance. There's always variance. But yeah, that should be super exciting. Oh my gosh.
So, other than that, is that any other business?
Any other business? No, meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thus concludes episode 198 of Soccer Cards United. We'll see you on Thursday. Thank you.